Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's talk about the Missouri Tigers. Jerod Hamilton joins us from PowerMizzou.com. That's the rival site that covers the Tigers up there. And Jerod, there's no getting around the fact that maybe one of the biggest surprises in college football last year was the Missouri Tigers, a team that I think, you know, was predicted towards the middle of the pack, maybe even the bottom of the SEC East. Instead, they were a top 10 team for most of the year, 10 wins in the regular season. They go to the Cotton Bowl. They beat Ohio State. All that's great, and now it leads to expectations. Is this a team that's ready to handle big expectations in 2024?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like you said, it was a strong 2023 campaign. I think after you add in the Cotton Bowl victory, I think they had four ranked victories, versus top 25 teams. So last year, their motto, something to prove, something to prove. They always are saying that. And kind of towards the end of the regular season last year and then stretching through, spring ball that finished up a couple weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure they'll go through the rest of the season, is kind of like, why stop now? That's their new thing. You know, they did all that work and they've got some momentum going, but why, stop at 11 wins? Why stop at the Cotton Bowl? They're looking at that 12 team playoff and they've got the pieces to do it. They retained a lot of their coaching staff, outside of defensive coordinator Blake Baker and edge coach Kevin Peoples, but they got in a couple good coaches to replace them. So when you add in so much talent they got coming back, a lot of the coaches coming back, recruiting's doing well, everything, all this momentum's going for it. Yeah, they're kind of looking at what's that next step, and that next step is making that 12-team playoff.
So that leads into my next question, and I did a preview for Tennessee, and I asked this exact same question, so I'll ask it about Missouri. Mm-hmm. Is Missouri a playoff contender or a title contender?
For now, I'll stay with playoff contender. And it's not because of what's so much on the team. It's when you look at their schedule, it's a nice schedule. And to be, and there's no easy games in the SEC. I mean, you can pick on whoever you want to pick on and say, well, what about this team or that team? Regardless, everybody would pretty much say it's the toughest conference in the sport. So there's no easy schedule. But when you look at theirs, pretty sure there's no Georgia, there's no LSU, I want to say, no Tennessee, no Texas. So, I mean, you avoided four big teams right there. Your biggest games of the season is at Alabama, and then you got a home game versus Oklahoma. Rest of that schedule, it's hard for me to say they go anything worse than 10-2 when you look at the schedule, everything, if they're healthy and all that. So they should be a contender for the playoffs, certainly, but until maybe that Alabama game or perhaps the Oklahoma game, I guess you can't really know if they're playoff contenders because they don't have, title contenders because they don't just have like tons of teams where you're like, oh, that's going to be a tough game or something like that. As opposed to Oklahoma, who I think has like four ranked games before they come to Columbia and face the Tigers. So, I mean, I really don't know at this point yet, but I think they're a talented team, but we've kind of got to see where they fit in after they play Alabama and Oklahoma.
This is a good year for quarterbacks in the SEC. You've got a couple of elite guys in Ewers and Beck. You've got some good guys. And Brady Cook is among that tier, maybe that second tier down of SEC quarterbacks. Where do you rank him when you look at the rest of the conference?
He's up there. He's definitely near the top. And his story is pretty incredible. A couple of years ago when I started on the beat, let's just say the fan base, he was a very polarizing figure. I mean, I'm a big wrestling guy. So if anybody knows wrestling, he was a John Cena type guy. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. He had an injury that he went through in week two of that year that kind of hampered his play. And so it wasn't a ton of love. But last year, he certainly proved it. He is one of the better quarterbacks. He's safe with the ball. He's not going to turn it over much. His passing has gotten better. His accuracy has gotten better. His deep ball throwing has gotten better. He's reading the field better, and he can run with his legs. So he's definitely one of the better quarterbacks, and it was just everything worked so well last year. And when you look at his receivers and you look at his offensive line and what he's got, I mean, you would think there's a step that he can take forward to be even better this year.
Drew, I just want to let you know, I checked your resume. I know you're kind of new to the SEC. I just want to welcome you to the fraternity of beat writers who love wrestling, because you are welcome to join us, my friend. We meet every Monday and Wednesday for whatever you want to do.
Oh man, great! I was locked in this weekend, so that's
yes, we all were.
My
we
type of
were.
Thing, yeah.
So there's Cook among the better quarterbacks in the SEC. What about Luther Burden? Is he the best receiver in the SEC?
You can say that he's possibly the best receiver in the country. And my mind's going blank because, recently, probably like many people, I've been locked into mock drafts and looking at the receivers that are in the draft class. So I'm probably blanking on another person who's instantly right there with Luther going into 2024 for college. But Luther is one of the top wide receivers, top players in the country. And yeah, he's definitely probably someone who should be up for the Biletnikoff, maybe Heisman. They've already kind of hinted at that a little bit last year, the Tigers did. But, I mean, he can do everything. He played outside, kind of the X receiver his freshman year, and that wasn't where his natural fit is. But he was so talented, and because they had a slew of slot guys in the roster, he's so talented, they said, well, we still got to get him out there. And he still tied the team in total touchdowns with 9. And then this year, I think it's, 1197 he had. I'm trying to think of his yards off the top of my head, but I think it was over like 80 receptions for almost 1,200 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns or something like that when he got moved to the slot. So another year under his belt, another year with Kirby Moore, Drink, and Brady Cook. I mean, the sky's the limit.
What does this team have to improve on from a season ago if they want to take another step and become one of the top-tier teams in the SEC?
So if you was to ask Kirby Moore, their offensive coordinator, he would say their red zone efficiency as far as touchdowns. Missouri for most of the year was actually number one in red zone efficiency, and they finished third overall. But if you look back, a lot of those drives ended in field goals and not touchdowns. And so when they get in the red zone, they've got to get touchdowns. Didn't hamper them too bad. They obviously went 11-2, but when you get down in that red zone, you've got to score. What else? Probably the biggest thing overall is just a self-inflicted wounds. You know, that LSU game, they had that game in hand from the jump. They had a 15-point lead. I want to say like somewhere early to mid second quarter. And then you get towards the end of the game where they have a chance to at least tie it, possibly take the lead based on how they were kind of like shredding LSU's defense. I mean, that was just the offensive game, both sides.
Yeah.
And then you get, I think it's a false start penalty or something like that. And then the next play, it's a snap that goes, 10, 15 yards behind Brady Cook, which basically puts them out of field goal range, kind of ends the game. Same thing with Georgia. You got a couple of turnovers. That was a close game. They probably played Georgia closer than anybody all season, not counting that loss they had. Obviously, I think it's Alabama later in the season, but they played Georgia really close. But turnovers down the stretch kind of ended them, and they were really good at not giving the ball away. So I'd say penalties, maybe tackling, and turning field goals into touchdowns in the red zone and things like that. But I feel like for the most part, they've got a lot of the bulk of the work done, but they got to clean up those big details.
You mentioned the schedule for Missouri, and it definitely is. As SEC schedules go, it's about as good as it gets. Can Missouri be 7-0 when they go to Alabama?
7-0 when they – I'm going to pull up the schedule right now because off the top I don't –
I'll give it to you. I got it right here. Murray okay, State, cool. Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, at A&M, at UMass, which is weird, and then Auburn at home.
I'd say they probably should be 7-0 when they head to Tuscaloosa. Usually people would say, Texas A&M is perhaps that game where, they say, that's on the road, Texas A&M always just feels like that weird, at least as of late, that weird middle of the pack team that can give anybody a run for their money on a good day. But because I don't know exactly how that team is shaping up with the new coach and what they got going on, I can't say for sure. Auburn will be an interesting game. But I think they should be 7-0 going into that game.
Why are they at UMass?
I, to be honest, I really couldn't tell you. I don't know why that is such a random game on the schedule. A lot of fans are kind of like, eh, it's one of those games. But I mean, for me, I'm not terribly mad to go to the Boston area
No,
for
I
a little
imagine
bit,
you're not, yeah.
I couldn't tell you why that game's on there. I don't know, but that game should be nothing less than a blowout, to
Yeah.
be honest.
Mississippi State played up there in 2016, but played in Foxborough and played at the Patriot Stadium.
Okay.
I don't know where that game is. If it's being played on UMass's campus, that's weird, but
Yeah,
we'll just go with it. So, Jerrod
right.
Hamilton, powermizzou.com. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks. I'm sure we'll talk to you again later this season.
Yeah, and throw me into these wrestling chats, man. I need people to talk about the
I'm gonna give
stories and
you a
all that good
follow on
stuff.
Twitter, man. We'll keep you in.
All right, cool thing. Appreciate you, man.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.